Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Creams and serums are made of 70% water, 15% preservatives and emulsifiers, leaving only around 15% for the active ingredients that your skin needs. But luckily now, there's Fiber Skincare.
15 years ago, the scientists behind Fiber Skincare started working on nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. You know, I saw that in Three Body Problem. Mm. 1 year ago, they patented a way of wrapping the nanofiber around oil or liquid-based ingredients. This means they can deliver 5 times the active ingredients compared to creams or serums, as there is no need for water, preservatives, or emulsifiers.
The first formulation made with this technology is plant-based, anti-wrinkle. It's a set of patches that you use over a series of 7 days. You just put these on whenever you would apply your serums, and your skin is going to feel tighter in 10 seconds. And over the seven-day program, it has been clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by, get this, 19.4%, a very precise percentage. In fact, they have a tighter skin guarantee. If your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they're going to give you your money back, no questions asked.
You get the tighter skin guarantee with this 7-day routine. Tighter skin or your money back. Get a 15% discount code by using the discount code GAME. That's Fiber Skincare.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
I became Maria's target. She like verbally attacked me, and I just sat there and held my composure. She called me embarrassing, weird, and dumb.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues, and we have just imbibed the third episode of Joey Grazia's Bachelor Season 28. I don't even know how to really put this into words, but it feels like the old game is back. It feels like the players are playing again. They don't give a shit. Nobody in this show is scared of producer harm. At least that's what it feels like. Whereas in the past 3 or 4 seasons, that seems like it's all it was. People just afraid that the producers were going to cut them bad. Here, I don't see an ounce of that. And it makes for a great show.
It feels like you're seeing the personalities come out.
Yes, exactly.
Just let it, you know, simmer.
Yes.
I actually had an idea where I was like, oh, they should have given Maria the group date win or the rose.
Yeah.
I feel like that would have really added to it.
It might have added to it, but it also might have pushed Sydney over the edge. Look, I don't, we're going to get into this in the recap, obviously, but I don't know what Sydney's deal is. Is she straight reading scripts from the producers? It kind of seems like that to me.
It feels that way to me. It feels like she's being coerced.
I think so as well. I don't know what promises were made, but that is what it feels like.
Yeah, I'm like, you may say there's no producer interference, but I'm like, I feel like she reads as a kidnapping victim to producers.
I don't know about that, but look, she's delivering. Whether she's being coerced by producers, scripted by producers, or doing all of this of her own volition, she's outstanding at what she's doing. I'm not saying she made good plays, but I'm saying she's making good early season content. And you always need this. You're always building to a 2-on-1. We saw on the tag or in the thing mm-hmm. at the very end. That's what we're going to get next week, or either Monday or Tuesday. By the way, next week, they're going to have Monday game and Tuesday game. We're going to recap them both. And then we are going to not have a Twibbon next week. So our two episodes next week will be a Tuesday recap of the Monday game and a Wednesday recap of the Tuesday game. Back to back.
Save your parasocial plays for 2 weeks from now.
That's right. Okay. Shall we do this, Pace Case? Shall we dive in?
Let's go.
And now, Pace Case and Bachelor Clues proudly present analysis of play in this week of our beloved game. This is Game of Roses.
All right. We are on our next episode, the intro. It's morning or maybe dusk. We don't know, but a beautiful shot of a pink gently melting into orange sky over Villa de la Vina. And then we see Joey is addressing a group date after party about drama, and the word bully scares him. So far, this intro is, I think, it's the weakest of the three. That said,
yes,
still incredibly strong. I'm still like, I kind of know what's going on. I know who's being accused. There's not a lot of mystery here, but they are showing us that this moment is going to come to a head tonight, and you better wait mm-hmm. until this after party to find out.
And it's better than seeing what all the dates are, who all gets the dates, what happens. Like, I love this format.
I agree.
I did notice they put the tag back in, though.
This was a good tag, though. I have to look, we'll get to it, but that Kentucky Fried Chicken commercial in the middle of the fucking show was hard. That was a hard thing to watch, but DLP bought it back.
I loved it.
When he came in that tag, I was like, fuck, I don't want to like him as a Dark Lord, but fuck, that was good. It was so fucking good.
How can you not like him? He's an empathetic king.
I don't know if that's true, but
Maria reminds us, or the women talk about how they're ready for a fresh start. Classic. Maria ITMs, I'm over the Sydney rivalry. And DLP comes in and tells all the women, 18 made it through. I feel like he's really emphasizing the contest element of it this season, telling the numbers.
Yeah, the numbers. Absolutely. Also, in the beginning of this right here, we get a few ITMs. One of them is Kelsey A. Finally getting this ITM, the screen time about wanting to open up. I think that ITM is starting her Dark Horse narrative. She's going to come out of nowhere, I feel like, and have a very deep run in this season. They haven't mm-hmm. given her much screen time so far, but here they're starting portion one with her in an ITM talking about essentially what her game strategy is going to be.
It seemed like they were weaving in Kelsey A and Rachel more into this episode.
Yes, absolutely. And obviously Maria got an ITM here about the misunderstanding with Sydney. She thinks she's over it and she just wants to focus on Joey and herself. You know, if they pull you into an ITM to talk about that, oh yeah, the beef is over. There's no drama whatsoever to see here. Time to move on. You know, when they have you saying that, you are completely fucked. And so then, yeah, DLP comes in, 18 women left, two group dates, a romantic one-on-one. He drops that date card, wishes the players the best. Jess reads the date card. Our first group date is, I'm looking for my Mrs. Wright. We're going to see Edwina, Kelsey A, Lexi, Allison, Medina, Krissa, Leah, Sydney, and Maria. You're always going to see Sydney and Maria paired here. You see it again in the rose ceremony in the end. They will always be back-to-backing them until we get that two-on-one. That is the nature of how mm-hmm. you build this drama.
We see that it is a performance competition. They're at High Streets Art Center. Joey is on stage. They I Love Cleveland, the theater. Yeah. And Maria does something here. Something that no one else does.
Yeah, I mean, look, we talk a lot about on this show in these group dates that there are these small things you can do to kind of stand out, both as far as a first audience play, how you're conveying your attitude about everything to the lead, but also as a second audience play, how you're conveying dominance over the second audience, and a fourth audience play, how you are entertaining us at home watching this. And Maria does it all here. She kind of walks up at the front of the group. She's in the front, but they're all just casually walking. And then when they're about 10 feet away from Joey, she has this burst of speed that puts her into a jog. She breaks away from the pack and she initiates a full hooju on a fucking group date. This is extremely rare. It's the first hooju of the season. Congratulations to Maria. However, presented very poorly. I don't think we can score this one because you see almost none of it. You just get a small kind of indication in this one kind of cramped shot. You don't see if she has ankle lock or...
I'll score it.
Okay.
I'll be brave. All right. 10 out of 10.
All right.
I love a group date. Who do?
I do too. It's
normally we don't see him until playoffs.
Yeah. Definitely a higher degree of difficulty. Reader behavior, 100%. There's reader behavior all over the season, by the way, obviously.
I mean, did you coach Maria?
You tell me. I have to say.
Seems like you did.
No, Your Honor, I do not have to say. The deal I've made with all my players is I will never reveal them, but Joey here addresses the group. They all say they're nervous. He says he's looking for his person. He has to make some tough decisions, and there are a few ladies that wanted to be there to join them. And he calls for these ladies to come out, and we get April, Susan, Kathy, and Nancy from Golden Bachelor. This is Askin. That is the team name that they gave themselves, devised by these players on Golden. Now we literally see it as text on screen. ASKN ladies, the Golden Bachelor season one, with all of their names there and the first letters highlighted in a different color so that we know what the acronym stands for.
Very clear.
It's an incredible shift that we look. We've said this multiple times, and I just will not stop saying it this season. They are doing all of these things right. They are putting the text on screen so it's not confusing. What if I didn't see Golden Bachelor? You probably at least know what it is. You are aware of it in existence, but to put this text on screen makes it all make sense. If you don't know what Askin is, you're like, what the fuck is going on? Simple text on screen. You get it. Oh, they must have had some fucking thing. They're just doing these things correctly now.
Mini error by Medina here. When Joey says ladies are joining, Medina says like permanently or just today.
Yeah.
When you're being 4TRR, it doesn't matter how many players are entering the pool. There could be 1,000. You just want Joey to find his genuine true love.
That's bubble season fears. You never show your fear when producers are at this point in the game.
Bubble season.
It is. You saw this kind of shit in bubble seasons. Like, oh my God, what now? Anytime somebody was like, and we've got a surprise for you, the immediate reaction used to be dread. In this season, primarily, it's been excitement. That's how you got to keep it. Here we get a little of that dread creeping through. And it was unwarranted, we find out, because, of course, it's four women that the entire nation fucking loves to death.
They ask and tells them that they are going to be competing in this pageant. And Leah gives an ITM in which she reacts to having to do a pageant, which she's never done before. And she closes one eye while opening the other eye to full aperture in a grimace. And the other eyebrow is raised. It's an incredible
face play of the game.
Oh, nice. I saw that one too. I got one a little bit later. Susan then tells them there's going to be a live audience. There's another wrinkle in this event. And April tells them they have only 1 hour to rehearse. They all run off. They get props. Very reminiscent of that bride date that we saw last week where everybody has to rush to get their outfits. Maria ITMs that the steps of the pageant are there's going to be a lazy Sunday fit wear, a Q&A, and a talent show.
I'm assuming Lazy Sunday is SpawnCon?
Is it? I don't know. I thought it was just like Lazy Sunday, kind of just terminology. Like, what would you wear on a Lazy Sunday? I don't think it's a brand, is it?
Oh.
I don't know. Maybe it is. But I love this here, too. This is the equivalent of putting titles on the screen because you never understand these fucking dates. Here you do. You're like, okay, there's going to be three tiers of this. They're each going to have to do an outfit, answer a question, and then show us a talent. And Sydney then ends this portion, this first portion, ITMing that she has had pageant experience, so she's confident going in. And at this point, that could be viable. That could be viable. We take that at face value at this point. We don't know what's going to happen. Maybe she's great at pageants. Portion two begins. Theater is packed with a live audience. DLP welcomes them to the first ever Mrs. Right pageant. I also love this. When they inaugurate one of these new group dates, he's now saying the first ever. And we've started to see in the past couple of seasons that they do legacy with some of these dates. When they've had multiple, like the Bachelor football game or whatever it is, the Bachelor Bowl, they said it was like the fifth Bachelor Bowl or something in the last one that we saw. So here we're seeing the first Mrs. Right pageant, which means I think we're going to be seeing it again down the road. And I can't wait.
You know, massive error by no one performing I'll be your Mrs. Right. Joey.
Yeah. I'll be your Mrs. Right.
Grazie. Right.
God, that would have been good. Do you think anyone would have known what it was?
No.
So they could have, someone could have passed it off as an original song.
They were all born in like the 2020s.
What? These people are 4 years old. He brings them all out and they are wearing their Sunday loungewear. Askin is on stage to help Joey Judge. DLP tells us that they've been asked to don their favorite Sunday loungewear. Leah's up first. She blows some rose petals to the audience as she comes out in her outfit. Kelsey A is up next. Maria throws a sock at Joey. He sniffs it and pretends that it smells bad. Did you notice this?
Uh-uh.
Go back and watch. We got some foot sniff play here.
Okay.
They all do a kind of catwalk model runway walk thing. And then we get the Q&A. The first question goes to Maria. April asks her hypothetically that after 30 years of marriage, how do you spice things up if things aren't working the same? Joey is mock outraged by this. I assure you that won't be a problem with me. I'm virile. And then Maria says it's good to have a fun connection and she would add some things in. That seems to get a good response from everybody. Sydney asks if she has had to fake it. Yes, she has. Kelsey A is asked what would happen if they were trapped in an elevator. Make some new memories.
Error. Never admit lying.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Never admit lying. And it's going to be a soundbite that I think will come back to haunt her as we now all kind of assume that she is faking this entire rivalry with Maria. At least I do. At any rate, Joey ITMs, he's excited.
I don't know. Or it's a Ashley, what's her face situation?
Salter. You think she's having a break with reality?
I don't know. It's just reminiscent of it to me of just like what, where I can't really follow the storyline.
Absolutely correct. This made me want to go into the Bachelor subreddit so fucking bad. It's like, this is the hardest I've had to like, no, don't do it. Don't do it.
No.
I'll probably get in it tomorrow.
We get Lexi answers, Joey's hot, but he also has a heart. He's the genuine Joey. And this is the first of many genuine Joeys we're going to get in this episode. We get the talent portion. Edwina sings a song. Medina does yoga. Very young, 31 right there.
Mm-hmm.
Allison does a basketball juggle on her knees. Krissa plays the trumpet. Maria does the splits. I thought we were going to get a Maria Leslie Fima here where she does a dance that's very effective, but maybe too sexual for the second audience.
Yep. I could have seen that.
And we start some cringe, quirky music.
You know when that's happening? Whoever's up next, you're fucked. And it's Sydney. She ITMs that she's been in pageants before. She doesn't get the things these other players are doing. She's going to wipe the table with them, basically. Then she comes out and she does this cheerleading maneuver. L-O-V-E. Joey is the one for me. R-I-G-H-T. Mrs. Right. That's me. They cut to the audience. It's fucking crickets. There's like two people clapping. None of the second audience is in. It doesn't seem like Askin is in. Joey is not in. I have no idea what really happened there.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. When you go to a Bachelor Live event, they make the audience give them reactions based on things that are not happening. Now everybody cheer like you're happy. Now everybody looks sad. Now everybody boo. They record all those reactions prior to anyone even coming out on stage sometimes. That may be what happened here. I don't know. But the way it's cut, this is a fool edit. We know that Sydney is now a fool and therefore,
which makes me hopeful for Maria's chances in the 2-on-1.
I think she's got great chances. She also played this very well. We'll get to it. But they basically are cutting this to look like Sydney is a fool, period. So anything she's going to do for the rest of the game, she won't be able to overcome it. They've already planted it in our mind. Mm-hmm. This character in this show is a fool.
They're like, she's an unreliable narrator.
Exactly.
She says she's good at pageants, but she's bad. She's faking orgasms. we see it.
That was the first joke. They made sure to give her that question. They already knew the answer to that question. They got it in her psyche, Val. And then
probably did already know the answer to that question.
They were like, well, they're just waiting for the right moment to get her to answer the question. They're like, this is it. Put the question in the pageant.
The question of the pageant. Edwina is getting some great colorful narration in this episode. She says, Sydney said she was going to blow our minds, and she definitely blew our minds away. Lexi gets the golden audience participation portion, and she tells Joey, I'm the world's best kisser. And then she says, I want some feedback, and we get sexy music, and she makes out with Joey in front of everyone. Power move.
Yeah, we saw even Askin is getting kind of hot and bothered by it. All these other women are forced on stage to have peeping Toms here. But Leah does an interesting move, covering her eyes with what looks like a fiddle or a violin or something.
Ukulele.
Lexi, I don't know what musical instrument it was. A small guitar-like instrument. Lexi ITMs that she knew it was a bold move, but she wanted to prove she was there for him. Joey confers with Askin about who is the winner. This has already been predetermined by producers. DLP takes the stage to reveal these results, in quotes. The winner of the first ever Bachelor Nation Mrs. Wright pageant is Lexi. She gets a sash. Leah ITMs that a lot of people felt like she put in less effort and got more reward. Now, this is sometimes the thing that will happen on these group dates is a lot of players will go fucking all out, like by the rules. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to play the game and I'm going to go out there and do a fucking triple backflip and slam dunk a basketball. And it's like, that would be very impressive.
I thought they said none of us could involve Joey in our tricks.
All of that is coming to play here. And they're like, basically she cheated. We all put in more work. One of us should have got it. That's what's starting to happen. And players, if you're listening to this right now, you...
Kelly Flanagan didn't go around all the cones.
She's Kelly Flanaganing a little bit here. And you have to remember as a player, this choice is not made by Joey. This choice is not even made by Askin. They had the least amount of input, actually, in this. The producers have decided this specifically to make all of the other players feel this way. They've already been in ITMs with you. Where they're like, what'd you think of Lexi's thing? Who did you think was the best? Who did you think was the worst? They all said Lexi was the worst because she didn't put in any effort. They give her the group date rose. You're all pissed. They're doing this literally to you. You have to be aware of that and don't register these negative reactions to it because it's only going to look bad in an ITM. Not that it is going to have any full effect on gameplay here, but it's just a little thing that if you don't give it to them, they don't have it to use. It's a safety protocol, basically. Can't get mad at these things. Then we see that casting card after this portion. Are you looking for your own Mrs. Wright? Find it now, it said. That was a strange choice of words. I re-listened to it 3 times.
Find it now. Thank you.
Yeah. Are you looking for your Mrs. Wright? Find it now.
Find the Mrs. Wright.
I don't know. It'll haunt me till my last day.
Portion 3, we get the group date after party. Lexi is wearing the sash, LOL, and Edwina's ITMing.
Oh, but can I just, for one moment, my apologies to go back to literally the first shot of portion 3, but it was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. This is a slow, almost locked off drone shot of what I believe is the PCH at night, Pacific Coast Highway at night. It might be some other highway, but I think that's the one it was at night. Time lapse of all the cars going along the road. It's a painting. It's a beautiful shot. The drone work they are doing this season is the best they have ever done. It really is like incredible quality drone work. A far cry from what we saw in the fucking Bachelorette season 19, where it was just a drone doing circles around a fucking cruise ship in the middle of the ocean. This shit is beautiful.
I mean, those cruise ship, this is the hill I'll die on. Those cruise ship drone shots were from the cruise ship. That wasn't the Bachelor.
I rest my case.
Anyway, Lexi gets the first one-on-one. We see the girl chat talking about, you know, whether she deserved it or not. I don't know what Cindy did here, but I wrote she's giving Marnie from Girls energy.
Interesting.
She says Lexi is her girl. Stop shit talking her. And we see Lexi on this one-on-one time. Joey loved how much she stepped out of her comfort zone. And he love-level ones her. They make out. We see one-on-one time with Kelsey. She's confident but doesn't like all the attention. Again, out of her comfort zone. This is what you have to anticipate.
The amount of times the word comfort is said, unreal. Just every one of these players was like, I was out of my, they all played the same play here.
Yeah.
It's you have to stand out a little bit on these group dates.
I'm sure the producers asked them that phrase a million times, but you got to anticipate this and make your conversation different.
Yes. You have to break out. And it's like, it's a safe play. Because I agree with you. I think the producers teed them up for this play. And they all just kind of did it. And it is that safe thing because you're raising a wall. You're overcoming it. And you're mm-hmm. using...
You're Jade Ropering.
Yes.
Will she sing? Oh, she's amazing.
Exactly. You're showing that because of Joey, he makes you able to do things that you couldn't do before. All of that, I get it. But this guy has to have now like the same conversation basically 6 times. And we all have to watch it. You got to shake this shit up in a group date.
Kelsey, love level one. Kelsey says the kiss made her realize her feelings because she was jealous, which I thought was a great play. Love level one. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, oh, this was proof that I had feelings. And
the way that she words it too, she goes, she's like, when you were kissing Lexi, it made me feel not the best. It's like a reverse love level one or something. It's like a bizarro world love level one. It's exactly like a love level one, but it's the opposite of saying, you make me feel feelings. It's like, when I saw you having a love level one for someone else, I felt bad. It was just beautifully worded, I thought. Just a little minutia there for me. Sorry.
He love level one's back says, something feels so right here.
Yeah.
And they make out. And we see quick pops of Edwina on her one-on-one, Alice on her one-on-one, Maria on her one-on-one, and Joey ITMs about her. There's a lot to unravel about Maria.
But she comes in, she plays the same play, but takes a slightly different tack. She comes in and goes, I've got a bone to pick with you.
I know what minutia you're talking about.
What was it?
Oh, never mind. I thought you were talking about the skirt. I got confused which conversation it was.
Oh.
I was thinking about the pool party.
No. We'll get to the pool party. This is one of the best pool parties ever, period. God, I loved it. Anyway, she comes in kind of hot. I got a bone to pick with you. So he's immediately like, whoa, what the fuck? The rest of them are kind of coming in like, yeah, it was out of my comfort zone, but you made me. And she's like, she puts him on the defensive a little bit. And that's why he says, I got it. She's going to keep me on my toes. No. She shocks him out of that pattern of like, oh, I'm so sorry. It was hard for you, but you came out of the pattern. I'm so glad. No. She shocks him out of that. Fuck you. You're in trouble.
You came out of the pattern.
Yeah. She's basically like, I'm going to kick your fucking ass, dude. And he's like, whoa, what? What the fuck's going on? Then she comes in with that play. It's immediate relief.
That's good for memory formation. Surprising someone.
Also, not only surprising, but it's relief. The surprise comes and he has a little twinge of like, what? And then she just goes into the same play. So he's immediately relieved like, oh, there's no real trouble here. And relief is a powerful emotion.
Mm. She says, I didn't know the kissing contest would be what today made me nervous, not in the comfort zone, but the kissing contest, if that's what you were validating, I would have done it. I would have done the Macarena.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I'm very low key, which I guess is like, I don't know about our energy differences. And she says, I'm an introvert.
Right.
LOL.
Well, they're talking about what she actually did, the dance. She's like, it was dumb, basically saying. And he's like, no, you made it look great. And he's like, I'm low key about shit, so I don't show my excitement. But I was excited by it and I liked it.
Oh, gotcha.
And then he goes, but I need my partner to be okay with me being low key. And immediately she's like, oh yeah, me and my whole family, we're all homebodies. Like immediately just reverses it. It's so good. And then he's like, I want to know more. He always says that at the end of these things. But I thought she played this well. She doesn't know yet what's happening, but you're seeing her play subtleties here that the other players are not playing.
I mean, she's the star of the show. Like,
absolutely.
Her energy is electric.
Absolutely.
We see one-on-one time with Medina and Joey tries to extract a tattle from her at the cocktail party. You're upset, something you want to share. And she's like, I don't want to take away from time from getting to know you, which is
brilliant.
What you should be thinking.
Yeah.
But he pushes and she says, okay, fine. Like it was her saying she's not even that old. It was invalidating. I felt like I was being bullied, but then she refuses to say who. Interesting. A nameless tattle.
And Joey presses. This is a tattle. There's a big difference between an open voluntary title, and one that comes as the result of an investigation. And this is Joey's first stage of this investigation. He will have a few more stages as the night progresses. This is just, yeah, finding information. That's it. I need to know who this was. She refuses. Joey presses it. She's not giving the name. Joey's scared in this ITM about someone not showing all sides of themselves. Then he continues this next phase of the investigation. He comes to the group and he says, I don't like drama, but I've heard things and I need to know if somebody knows what I've heard, this thing. The name is basically what he's looking for. So he's taken it from the one-on-one to Medina, brought it to the group, and now we get to see how it unfolds in this next portion. It's first we go back to the mansion. The remaining players discussing who wants the one-on-one. There's a knock, and we see Jen gets this one-on-one. Daisy's reading the date card, and then we cut quickly back to this after party. They don't linger in this. I thought this was very well done. If you are going to break a after party, quickly, just tell me who's on the one-on-one and back to that after party. They did it fast. It was great.
Quick, load Caitlin's tiny curse. We see the group date after party. Joey says, I need to know. And then he awards the group date rose to Kelsey A. And he says, the word bully scares me.
And then he keeps saying this. If there's something that needs to be said, I need to hear about it. And then he leaves. And Maria is visibly shaken. This is like in a cop movie or a detective movie where they're trying to solve the case. And they go to the witnesses. And they're like, look. We need to know about this thing. And they're like, I don't know. I don't know anything about it. And then they give him a card. And they say, well, if you remember anything or you need to call me, here you go. He's basically giving them the card here. He's saying, I am launching an investigation. Maybe you guys can't talk about it around each other, but come tell me the information. I'm in mid-investigation. I need to close my case. Joey leaves and Maria is visibly shaken. She says, what the fuck does that mean? She's a high-level player. She knows what is happening here, that she is being somehow... by some unknown person, or she knows who it is, but by a weird kind of thing that's happening, she's being pushed into a villain role. She can feel it happening, and she is not happy about it. We literally get a ticking clock sound put in as Medina then comes clean. She thinks it was because of her conversation with Joey. She didn't call Maria's name out. She didn't say you're a bully, but she said she felt bullied.
Medina revealing that she was the tattle who ruined the vibes was my
error of the game.
If Medina wants to take Maria out, which it seems like she does, seems like she and Cindy want that, you want Joey to go into the investigation with Maria not knowing what is going to hit her. Now she has time to prepare her defense.
Yeah, 100%. But I will say, at least from what it seems like in the document in this, her defense is like reality. You know, none of those other players think she's mean or a bully. They have all issued ITMs to that effect. They've literally said it to her face. She, at one point, I mean, we get the scene soon after this where her and Medina are like, everything's cool.
That's why I feel like they're giving her the Salter edit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe. Look, we may never...
There's multiple ITMs to back her up.
Yeah, exactly. I just, from what I'm seeing in the document, there's no evidence that she like has anything to be worried about. She can just feel the villain edits start to happen. Chad Johnson gave an interview on Courtney Robertson's podcast where he talked about the moment that he knew he was becoming a villain. Like literally the second during the shoot. And he was like, they were in a living room set up, I think in the mansion. And they were all talking about their feelings on, I forget, dating or something. It was something where they were all just kind of like, yeah, I mean, she's got to date other guys, whatever. And Chad Johnston was like, I hate that she's dating other guys. I know I could kick all your guys' asses or something. He said something like this. And he was like, the cameras just all turned to me. Every camera in the room went to me. And he was like, oh, that's what this is. That's the game. And he was like, I'll be the villain. And that was it. And I think she felt that here.
Oh, he decided to be the villain there.
That's what he said. Who knows if that's true or not?
Hmm.
But he realized in that moment, enough to like have a pretty strong memory of it and be able to recall it in this interview.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I think Maria was feeling a little bit of that right here. those cameras put on her. And instead of being Chad Johnson, like, yeah, let's fucking do this. She was like, oh, fuck. How do I get out of this? That is not a good thing. If you're in a group setup and all the cameras go to you, you're a villain or you're a fool. Generally speaking.
We see. Oh, my gosh. This conversation is hilarious. Maria said, or she says she felt bullied. I didn't say her name. Maria says, bully is a big word. Is it bullying or is it trying to clear my name? And Sydney starts talking and she says, I want to hear from you. You started it.
She also, Sydney jumps in and is like, I felt bullied as well. When Medina says that, she just is right along with her. Like, me too. I'll take that. I love what she's having.
Seconded. Maria, then ITMs, I've been bullied all my life, unfortunately.
Oh, God.
All right. PTC loaded of bullying.
Yeah. Well, also PTC played against the second audience here. She's being attacked by a member of the second audience. She's using a PTC as a defense to the second audience, which is a rare play. You don't generally have to do something like this, but she does it. It's a high level play. And
it is a high level play.
You know, I don't know if it had a direct impact on the second audience or not. I don't know if they already felt like, what the fuck is Sydney doing? Maria's fine. Or if that PTC helped get them there. But we see the result of it is these players have these ITMs. These producers are cutting those ITMs into the show. The producers are backing up Maria. The players are backing up Maria. She, you know, she's got the second and third audience, in my opinion, which gives her the fourth. And the real question is, does it give her the first or not? Has she already fucked herself in such a way that, like, that has been removed as a possibility, which then means she can't be viable for the playoffs, a hometown at the very least.
Yeah. Shoot. It might have knocked her out of hometowns. Yeah.
I think it might have as well.
Because there's just too much of a question mark, and there's so many good players.
We have seen, you know what, though? You know what?
But if Olympios is the model.
Exactly. Exactly. I was just about to conjure her. I was like, there is an Olympios energy here at work. Is there enough of it that you can survive a 2-on-1 and go to hometowns? Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. God, I'd love that. I'd love to see another Olympiosian run.
I hope so. Just give us what we want. Come on.
Yeah, use AI just to make it happen, please.
Maria then says something that makes me think breeder behavior. She says, we all need to stick together. I just want to clear the air. And Sydney starts talking and she goes, not you, little Missy Troublemaker. I love this line.
Unreal. Yeah.
So good.
And then she calls her catty. I don't want to be friends with a catty person. And she says, I'm happy with my character and how I've handled every situation. Okay. I don't think I've heard any player even say that. Like, she's almost acknowledging that it's a TV show. I'm happy with my character. I know she means like the content of her character. She's playing a character in a TV show. How I've handled every situation is like, she just sees it as a yes or no. Did I win or lose this thing in this game? That's basically what she's saying. She's like, I've won every one. I have no regrets. It's fascinating. That's why I'm like, are they giving her a script? I know this is a little bit of conspiracy town, but fuck.
I don't know. Cause some of these lines are so good that I'm like, I don't know. It seems improv.
I agree.
Sydney then walks away from the girl chat and Maria says, I feel so weird about you. We see Allison ITM. I don't think she's a bully. And we see Sydney say, I feel attacked. I'm going to head home. I'm done being in the negative environment. And we see Maria produce tears, go off on her tears for TRR.
Sydney ends that by saying, I'm done being attacked. And if anybody else wants to join me in leaving this negative environment, come on. She invites other players to join her and no one goes. Oh. No one stands up.
Oh my gosh. It's like that movie with Renee Zellweger and
Jerry Maguire.
Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Jerry Maguire.
It is. It was kind of like that.
Who's coming with me?
Yeah, nobody. Good luck, dude. Or his one assistant, right? That was Renee Zellweger. She went with him. Yeah. Cuba Gooding Jr. won an Oscar for that movie. God, that was a good movie.
What?
Yeah. For playing Rod Tidwell, I think was the character's name, that football player that Jerry Maguire's like his only client that stuck with him and he gets him the big thing in the end. You ever see that movie?
I did not know that was an Oscar movie.
Jerry Maguire, show me the money? You don't remember that?
Seems too fun to be an Oscar movie. That's all I'm saying.
It's a good movie.
Portion five, we get the mansion the next day, and we see Edwina telling Caitlin what's going on about the bullying drama. Edwina, again, ITM, she's not a bully. And the girl chat is them saying, I love Maria. She doesn't have a filter, but she's spot on. So this second audience is backing her up. And then we see Maria and Medina. And Maria's like, I'm not a bully. I felt bullied.
Yeah. And she uses the we're all in this together sisterhood play
we're
again.
All in this together. High School Musical again.
That sisterhood play
that
is huge.
Is giving clues.
Well, it's I will say. It's something that I would tell anyone to do. Do this sisterhood play.
Mm-hmm. You're always preaching sisterhood.
Always preaching it because it's very hard. If you link all of the second audience together.
In and out of the game.
What'd you say? In and out of the game?
Yeah.
Mainly in the game. But if you link the entire second audience together, it becomes very hard for those ranks to break. And then you're kind of in it. It's kind of a like, if you can do it successfully, it's kind of like, yeah, whatever. We all have to do this because it's a weird situation and we're not going to get mad at each other. It's kind of the unspoken rule of the sisterhood. You know, it's exactly what happened on Golden.
Let's all get each other's numbers up.
Yes, it's Golden. It's Golden Bachelor. That was a perfect sisterhood. Mm-hmm. Even the villain is now like super friends with Teresa. Kathy, I'm talking about, of course. And I think you're going to see more and more of that because it just makes it more fun. It makes it more vibrant. You get to be happy for your friends when they go on a date. You get to give some people shit about whatever. But at the end of the day, there's not going to be any tattles is basically what's happening here.
Mm-hmm. We see this one-on-one with Jen.
But Sydney ain't in on that.
And Sydney ain't on that. We see Jen gets called the good time girl by Joey. It's going to be a surfing date. Jen kind of plays an IFI. I'm terrified of sharks. And she needs help with a wetsuit, which is very relatable. I would be so pissed if I got a wetsuit date as my first date.
I agree.
It's hard to be.
I would leave immediately. I would say, this is not for me. We are not a match. However, there is a shot.
Take me to the airport. I have been kidnapped.
Take me to the airport immediately. There is a seagull flying low above the sand. And this seagull was my.
Creature of the week.
I love to see a bird in flight. I'll put it plainly. And this was a very well-captured bird in flight.
This bird in flight, who represented their romance taking off, was also my
creature of the week.
It was a pretty good creature. We didn't have a lot of creatures this week, but I did like this creature. Then we get them in the surf shop. They're cheersing. They do some gaze play based on the superstition of having 7 years of bad sex if you do not do gays play during a cheers. I'd never heard this.
What?
Yeah. I've heard that it's like, it's improper to not gays play during a cheers, but I didn't know why. I didn't know that there was a 7 years of bad sex.
I've heard bad luck. I've heard the bad sex thing.
Mm. Yeah. Fair. Must be real.
I like this. I like the association of if you're not doing gays play, you're under a curse.
Yeah, I do too. You're either under a spell or a curse, your choice. So we then see them waxing their boards and they do some surfing in quotes. And even though Jen is falling off the board all the time, he's reassuring her he's there.
Surfing tongue.
Comforting. What? Surfing tongue, you said?
A lot of making out of the water.
That's true. They do. She ITMs how patient he is and he ITMs feeling giddy around her. That's a loaded love level one. Sunset hits as they're sitting on the beach, laying in the water, prone kissing, getting hit by the waves. And here they laugh and they have a good time with it. It's not like the torturous paradise where the wave breaks your bones. This is fun and funny and delightful.
Portion six. This is fun and funny and delightful. And I'm having a good time talking about it.
You have no idea the fucking pleasure. Look. We've talked about this a little bit too. Those bubble seasons were fucking rough. We all know this. There were some good things about them. We learned a lot. A lot of interesting things happened in them, for sure. Mm-mm. But they were at times...
Cardboard Taxi.
The Cardboard
DLH
Taxi.
DLH fired. Dale Moss.
Dale Moss. I was going to say Moss. There was a lot. The dual bachelorette season. There was just a lot learned. Anyway, what I'm saying is some of those seasons were fucking hard to watch. They were not fun to watch. This season is so fucking fun. I love it.
Wait, yeah. How did your pleasure watch go?
Oh, God. Fantastic. For those who didn't listen to Twib, and it was my scream last week, I got to pleasure watch last week's episode. I did my notes watch for us to do our recap and everything. And then the next day, I just watched it again for pleasure with no notes, no nothing. And fuck, I loved it.
You're making me want to do it.
You won't regret it. That's for sure.
Clues. A Mother's Day is coming up.
That's true.
You know, that's one of the most important holidays. We got to honor our mothers. They all went through a lot to get us here into this planet. And the gifts for Mother's Day, they can be a little predictable and boring. Sweaters, candles, the dreaded bathrobe. You only need one bathrobe, in my opinion. That's why Aura Frames is the perfect gift to mix things up this year. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter, Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected. They come with unlimited storage. You can share as many photos as you want from your phone to your mom's frame. Not only is she going to be grateful that it's not just another sweater for Mother's Day, she's also going to love that an Aura frame means she gets to see more of you. Or in my case, she gets to see more of my cat, Skaboolian. My mom loves seeing him rolling around, playing with his toys, doing whatever, and I can upload as many images of him as I want every day, and my mom gets to see them in her Aura frame and then text me about it for all the rest of the day. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Everybody listening to Game of Roses can save on that perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code ROSES at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Clues, you know, I'm on my year of health, 2024. I'm trying to really focus on that. You know, I've got my career in order. I've got, you know, other aspects of my life, but I eat badly and I take care of myself badly. But that is changing now. I have discovered Lumi. Lumi is a game-changing whole-body deodorant designed by an OBGYN to work not only on pits, but also feet, privates, and everywhere else we get odor. I use their wipes. I use their, they have a traditional deodorant stick too, which I use, a lovely coconut smell about it. And no matter where you use it, Lumi is clinically proven to block odor all day long, all thanks to its one-of-a-kind pH-optimized formula. They have over 275,000 five-star reviews to show for it.
It's baking soda-free, it's paraben-free, it's pH balanced for safe use below the belt, clinically proven to control odor better than a shower with soap alone. 12 hours after a shower, the average person has an odor level of 6 out of 10. Did you know that?
That's
a
disgusting.
High level. With Lumi, the average odor level is, guess what? 0 out of 10.
Yes.
Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice. You could get mini body wash, you can get deodorant wipes, whatever you want, and free shipping. And as a special offer for everyone listening right now, new customers are going to get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code ROSES at LumiDeodorant.com. That's L-U-M-E deodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off the starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use that code ROSES.
Clues. I quit bras during the pandemic. I said, no more. They're not comfortable. I'm being comfy as a lifestyle. And I couldn't picture a bra that would exist that I would want to wear. But today's sponsor, Honeylove, has revolutionized the bra game. They don't have underwire, they don't have bulky fabrics, and they are so soft. Basically feels like a second skin, which is the only type of bra I will be wearing in the year of our gore, 2024. Mm-hmm. I got the crossover bra, the black runway one. It has this cute like mesh that adds peekaboo mesh that adds this very sexy touch. So it's like, doesn't look like it's, you know, a comfortable bra, but it is. And I guess I'm a bra person again, it turns out.
Well, congrats, Pace Case. I know it's a big step for you. Right now, you can treat yourself to the best bras on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/roses. Use that exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/roses. After you purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support Game of Roses and tell them we sent you. Treat yourself to Honey Love because you deserve it. I can tell you that much from personal experience. This night portion begins.
We see portion 6, the dinner portion with Jen. She calls Joey genuine, second genuine. And she says she loves they've conquered a fear together. He says, I love that. Lion King.
For the first time.
He loved level ones, Jen. And she loved level ones him back. We see Jen play this PTC of heartbreak and familial strife, a bad relationship between her parents and bad relationship between her and the dad.
And right after she plays this incredible PTC, she punctuates it with
face play of the game.
A beautiful downward gaze, mouth scrunch. I don't know how else to explain it. I'm going to show it now to Pace Case. And I just have never seen such a face play at the end of a very strong PTC. It was incredibly well done.
Ooh.
And I don't know exactly what it conveys other than kind of like a bashfulness about, you know, having told you this. And I had a hard time growing up. It kind of like is a little bit of an emotion. It still, you know, gets a physical reaction out of her. It was just brilliantly done, I thought. And you just don't see face play like this at the end of a PTC usually.
It is giving Michaela Maroney that kind of like squish face.
Yeah.
Sideways lips. Jen then tells Joey she sees he's genuine. Genuine Joey, number 3. And they make out. Back at the mansion, we find out about group date 2. It's going to be a tennis one. And we cut back to Joey tells Jen they have a special surprise. Oh my God. They see a drone fireworks show, which was my wowie moment of the week.
Do you know what song was playing to that drone fireworks show?
Bolton.
When I Laid Eyes on You by Michael Bolton. And that Michael Bolton double dip was my wowie of the week. Can't believe it. I'm like, I don't know how much money they're paying this guy. They got him to do a live performance. Now they're licensing his songs.
I mean, the money and care that go into this drone fireworks show to make a rose, Jen,
yeah,
accept this rose, etc. So she gets the one-on-one rose. That seems like that was a done deal before they even went on the date, presumably.
Absolutely.
Paid for that drone show.
Absolutely. Yeah, can you imagine? It's like right as the drones are about to come out. This just isn't working out. Benevolent execution. Cut the drones. Send the drone guy home.
Yeah, he sends her home and then he like gets out a shotgun and shoots all the drones down.
Yeah. Just shooting down the rose. Oh, God. Yeah, it ends even with a Bachelor logo is made by drones just floating in the sky. Over, I guess that's above Hollywood Cemetery. That's where they went.
Gorgeous.
I'm like, how magical would that have been to be living in that area? And you just look out your window some night and there's the Bachelor logo flying in the sky.
I would have gone.
I would have thought I was hallucinating. I would have been like, yeah, that's it.
I would have thought I was hallucinating.
I found the deepest layer of the pit. That's what I would have thought.
I have cancer. Yeah.
Portion 7 begins. We have this group date number 2. It's on the tennis courts. Joey's serving and grunting. Players all show up. He ITMs that this is a comfortable place for him. He's been playing tennis since he was 13. It's also his job. Rachel ITMs that he's serving.
For those who aren't watching and are just listening, Joey is playing tennis, but the shirt is on.
Oh, that's true. Rachel ITMs that he's serving and looking 10 out of 10. Joey addresses the group saying this is a fantasy of his to see them all there in these tennis outfits. Tennis is a huge part of his life. He's happy to make some new tennis memories. Two people are brought out, James Blake and Pam Shriver. These are tennis pros from yesteryear, legends indeed in the game. Joey ITMs that he's fangirling about them. So here they don't even make the players do an I Love Cleveland. Joey does it for them because he has expertise in this world. It's almost like a higher version of an I Love Cleveland or something. And it's real. This is real.
EITMs, Pam is the GOAT, which is factually incorrect because Caitlin Bristow is the GOAT.
Oh.
But Pam is something else. My.
Jorge Moreno, bystander of the week.
I felt like Pam really stepped it up, especially in the commentary section. Mm-hmm. I felt like we'll get to it, but I feel like she had a little bit of a chemistry play with DLP. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. She really popped.
Yeah, I agree. Caitlin ITMs that learning about her partner's hobbies is important to her. And James Blake shows them how to serve. Jess ITMs that she's never played tennis in her life. And I simply wrote error. Not of the game, but this is an error.
Error.
You're going into a season with Joey Grazia Day. You know a few things about him. Hawaii in tennis and gays. You have to be prepared for all of these things. Know a little bit about Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. His three tenants.
Know a little bit about Hawaii. Have picked up a tennis racket before you have gone into this show. And learn to give gays play back to somebody like that. Or at least to withstand theirs without crumbling.
It could have been a play for time, and then they'd really have been in trouble.
Exactly. I'm just saying, this is in my opinion, not reader behavior unless she's playing a role.
She's like actually really good.
Yeah. I've never played tennis in my life. Then you just get out there and ace. Yeah. Beginner's luck.
DLP air horns. They're going to head-to-head competition, and you'll find out a little twist once you go to the changing rooms, which was a creepy line.
Because the last time we saw this was on charity season, and the twist on the men's beach dodgeball game was that they were going to have to be doing it in Speedos, and then we got a whole montage of them shaving their buttholes and pubic areas. Do you remember this?
I unfortunately can't forget, because they made just little short changing rooms so that we could see them in this horrible way.
See, and you don't get that here. That's what I'm saying. Charity Lawson's season was like the door opening. We're fully into the room now. You don't even get a hint of they're going to make one or more of these players have to do forced nudity. Usually in a date like this, something like that would be here. And it just wasn't. And guess what? We don't miss it. We, in fact, like it more because it's not there. When the player's not tortured, when they're allowed to play, it's far more entertaining.
And have fun.
It's far more entertaining.
Like, this is so fun. They do this ESPN commentator chyron under the bystanders and DLP at this competition. And there's a sign that says all in the game of love. Interesting.
And this, again, is the first Bachelor Open. So if they ever do another tennis date like this, it will be continuing. I don't know. In my wildest fantasies, they keep those trophies and they really do engrave the names of everybody on it who won every season. And you get to be added to them if you get into the legacy of the game. In my wildest fantasy, that's real.
Why not? I love that.
I do too.
I love that.
I love that.
We see them all in these tots. There's Autumn and Daisy are babies. We have a beehive, a hot dog and bun, and a butter and something.
Butter and lobster.
Lobster.
Yeah. So they're all in kind of like a thematically grouped thing. Autumn and Daisy are the babies, baby. Star and Rachel are hot dog and bun. Caitlin and Jess, the bee and the hive in the beehive. And then Kelsey T and Evelyn are lobster and butter. And the first one is babies versus hot dog and bun.
This, I think, were just costumes from their new prop department of big things.
But it was like they're all kind of goofy. And as you saw what happened, like with the babies, for example, Autumn and Daisy, they're literally playing the fucking role. They're like, we're babies. We can't have alcohol anyway. We didn't want it. When they lose, like they're happy to oblige when you didn't make somebody like become fully naked to do this.
The bald cap.
Yeah. It's like when you take out the forced violence and the forced nudity, I know these are staples of our beloved game and they've been there since the beginning. When you take them out, it makes it more fun. It just does. I don't know what's coming for the rest of this season, but I'm okay with not having any forced violence or forced nudity.
Yeah. I mean, just watch the first few seasons. The dates were all dream dates.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
No, there were no bad dates.
Yes, exactly. It almost feels as though the producers do not hate these people. And I think that's good.
You're going a little far now.
No, I think it's good. At any rate, we get all of this tennis going on and it results with the finals are Hot Dog and Bun versus Lobster and Butter. And Evelyn Clark and Kelsey T seem to crush their opponents 5-0. They win the first Bachelor Open.
By a lot.
Just demolish them. And
Evelyn, 2 weeks in a row, just crushing the group dates.
She's a fantastic player and obviously knocked out of the game too early. But I just hope there's paradise. I know that I've said I don't think it's happening and I really don't think it is, but fuck, come on. It's like, if anybody's listening to this who makes any of these decisions, I will simply say this. Give it a chance. Mm-hmm. Give it a fucking chance. Because you've got a different thing now. The players that can come into this season 10 are different than the players who were damaged by the bubble seasons. This will be the first time that you will have a full crop of rookies who maybe were not in the bubble seasons. Throw in a couple bubble season players. Put in a couple. Sprinkle them.
Take off your bubble goggles.
Yeah. I think the show could be good again. I really do. Simply because of the quality of these players. And just don't fucking do the things that you do in Paradise. Don't have the poop babies. Don't have the creamy Caesars. Just don't do that shit. Make it fun. Make it like a fun, sexy show that we all want to be on that beach with them instead of watching people trying to flee the beach. That's all you got to do. And it works. You're seeing it in Grazia Day season. It works.
If like it's gotten too expensive at that place, I would go to a new place that's really nice.
Mm, yes. Put some money into it. You got Bolton money now. We see it and we love it.
Bolton money. You got drone money.
Yeah. Get Michael Bolton to fucking paradise. That's all you got to do.
Bolton on Golden Bachelorette. Let FEMA go on a date with Michael Bolton.
Can you imagine? It's like, but there's one more guy coming to the beach. And then you see the feet coming down the stairs and it's Michael Bolton. Is Michael Bolton here to date? Is he here to date? No, I'm not here to date.
I mean, she dated Prince.
Yeah, I'm just here to date a song.
Congrats to Evelyn and Kelsey T on this group date win. So good. Evelyn spray champagne. Let's go. Portion 8. DLP casting card. Take a swing at love. Group date after party in a kind of nice trailer park. I feel like they went here on Lion Dyke season.
You know, I had that feeling too.
I feel like the Becca Martinez age.
Yes.
Was here. Age reveal.
I think so. I think it was. I think you're absolutely right. It seemed familiar.
Rachel loads some walls. We see Caitlin load this parental divorce PTC. And then we see one-on-one time with Caitlin. And she tells Joey, I have a family curse. All the women are single and they're relying on me to break the curse. And this curse PTC was my
play of the game.
Okay.
I love this. This was very witchy. She ends up getting the group date rose. It is kind of like a fun PTC in a way because it's like, we've got a curse, but you know.
Yeah, she's laughing through the whole thing.
It's not real. And Joey does such an amazing response to it too. He's like, well, you're just surrounded by strong, independent women. I was like, he is such a good bachelor.
Yes, he's a very good lead. This is another thing that you've done incredibly right this season to everyone who's making The Bachelor. You picked a guy that, I told you, I had more people hitting me up in my DMs this season about wanting to go on Joey's season to be a player than I've ever had. It was like a tidal wave because they cast a guy that people want to date. That's what The Bachelor has to be. He has to be a catch. He has to be somebody that's like, fuck, I wish I was on the show this season. No offense to some of the prior Bachelors, but there was a run of them that were like,
yeah, whoa, Clues.
That were not that. You know what I mean? And that the show didn't present as that either. What they did to Clayton Eckard, they presented him from the beginning. Yes,
they could have presented them not as fools.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're presenting Joey well, and he has the innate ability of a very great lead, and you're doing that part correctly. But at any rate, it's an interesting play of the game. I did like this play. But Joey ITMs here that he's giddy around her.
Will the curse get broken? Time will tell. I don't know. I thought Caitlin really stood out in this.
Yeah, they definitely elevated her in this game. Joey ITMs that he's giddy around her. She's smart, beautiful, doesn't need a man to feel validated. And I love that. That's his second utterance. One-on-one time with Rachel, who then technically gets a steal here from Caitlin. It is an apology steal. Sorry, but she is there and she does get this time. Although it's hard to call it a steal because it didn't get the real treatment, but it was.
Yeah, I did note they were on screen at the same time.
Yeah.
So I'll give it a steal.
I think it has to be. Then Rachel goes in for a hug and gets her earring caught on his shirt. And a producer has to come out to free her from this jewelry trap. And this producer was my
Jorge Moreno, bystander of the week.
The producers here.
The faceless hands.
The faceless hands were delivering the cake to Lauren last week that she threw on the ground. Now they're coming in to remove an earring from. They're helpful. These producers are helpful and nice.
They giveth and they taketh away.
they're doing a good job of presenting themselves. In prior seasons, they are shadowy figures whispering in ways that we can't hear that require text on screen. Here, no words are even said. It's just, let's come in and let me help you. I just want to help you.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. It's a beautiful moment. This is a different season. We're in a different show. This is a fucking renaissance. Sorry to say it.
I love it.
Not sorry to say it. Love it. I love it.
Rachel plays Are You My Daddy? You Remind Me of My Dad, parental marriage longevity play. And she says her mom never touched a door handle. What on earth? I've touched so many door handles. What am I doing wrong?
I don't know what to tell you about that. I don't know what to tell you. You gotta get a guy like her dad. But this seems to be a good play.
She loves his gentleness. She produces tears. This was almost my play of the game.
Yep. And Joey says he loves how much she appreciates her dad. We get a little kiss here. Joey ATMs that she's making him feel special. The good vibes of the day ran through the night. We see Kelsey T get some one-on-one time, and he's still giving her tennis lessons, then gets a little kiss. We get Daisy here with some one-on-one time. An incredible play. She says,
oh my God.
I know.
This is almost my play of the game.
I agree. I mean, she's a high level player. There's no doubt about this. She comes in and says, I gave you some information last week, and I just want you to know I'm up for questions about my cochlear implant. I know that was a lot of info. And he's like, no, I was impressed by you. And I was even thinking on the date today that he hoped the whole process of The Bachelor wasn't too much for her, that she's not getting overwhelmed by it. And she says she's fully capable, but also still learning. She's still learning. She's still got a ways to go. She's telling you, I still have a story to tell. It's so brilliantly played. And then she asks him if he wants to touch it. He takes it off. We see how that it attaches magnetically. We're basically, I think for many people in America who have never seen anything like a cochlear implant, getting here it is. This is exactly how it works. I thought it was brilliantly done. We see how it's like magnetically attached. And she says, it makes me different. And he says, no, it makes you special, not different. And we get a fucking kiss. This is scripted. This is a scripted fucking rom-com. It's unbelievable. Right? It's unbelievable.
Does he have a thing in his ear? What is going on? I mean, oh my gosh.
It's unbelievable. He's so fucking good at this. He was born to do it. He was born to do it. There's no other way to put it.
All of these were strong play of the game worthy plays.
Yeah.
Intense PTCs. But unfortunately, only one PTC was good enough to get the group date rose. That goes to Caitlin. The curse. The curse is a good story. And we cut back to the house, and Sydney and Leah are talking shit on Maria, and Sydney ITMs, I'm not the drama, LOL, and loads her tattle.
And all of her ITMs, she's saying things like, I'm not going to let the mean girl win. This is something that needs to be addressed to Joey. So she's loading that tattle and stuff, but she's any players who will listen to her, any second audience members that will listen to her, she's saying the same story. Maria's the bad one. Maria's the bad one. Maria's the bad one. Then in her ITM, she's also maintaining that story. Maria's the bad one. Maria's the bad one. Maria's the bad one. Does she believe this? Or again, is this a scripted thing? At every time they show her, I'm like, what is going on here?
I think it's a combination. I think it's them telling her Maria's the bad one. I think it's them saying, do you feel like Maria is manipulating people?
Really? Wow.
I mean, for her to say she's manipulating, like...
Yeah.
I don't know. It just, it feels to me like it has been, I don't know, but we're not getting any context, you know?
No, I know. But the way that it's being positioned is that she's trying to essentially play a victim card here and say that I'm the victim of this other player's attacks. That narrative is not lining up with anyone else in the show, it seems like.
It looks like Leah's agreeing with her.
Possibly.
I don't know. And Lexi is an ally. I don't know. I have no idea. It is confusing, but very entertaining. We get portion number 9. We're at the house. The vibes are good. DLP comes in and says, Joey says, no cocktail party. It's a pool party. The favorite announcement ever.
And then my portion of The Bachelor for the rest of this, I didn't see it. It was just a long KFC commercial. I couldn't believe this.
Loved it.
We've seen shit like this before. Ben Higgins, you'll remember.
Maybe this is how they're affording all the drones in Bolton.
God, exactly. They got that KFC money. Do you remember season 20, Ben Higgins going on a one-on-one date with, I think it was Amanda Stanton?
Yeah.
To McDonald's.
They went behind the counter.
They went to fucking McDonald's. That was this again, except they didn't go to KFC. They didn't have it in the budget to take a bus to KFC for this one. Bring the KFC to the mansion. We'll eat it in the pool. I mean, holy shit. They were wearing fucking KFC clothing. Somebody had on a fucking KFC hat.
I love it. It's a KFC themed party.
Oh, it's rough.
Daisy's grandma would always give her KFC. I love Cleveland KFC.
It's like, it's hard to... You know, they do all this stuff to build the legacy and like the luster's coming back to the show. We're in the Renaissance and KFC. It was tough for me.
It's too overt. It takes you out of it.
Yes, it does. I just feel like there's something else to be done here. I don't know. I don't know how you service this kind of ad buy, this kind of product placement money and not make it like this bad. I just thought this was like, and I get what they tried, and I appreciate the attempt. I just think it was the wrong direction of it. And I don't know, I don't even have a good answer for what it could be, but there's a way to do this shit, this product integration, that is like, it's better than this. This jarred me. It jarred me.
I think you do it how Love Island does it, and they're like, this party is sponsored by whatever, and they threw you this party, and there's a DJ or something, like something that they're getting that's not just the product.
You know how you could do it, maybe? I don't know what the deal is, you know, what kind of deal is being struck about, like, does it have to be in the actual, like, main body of the show? You could put it at the tell-all. You could give it to the audience, and everybody in the audience is eating KFC, and there's KFC buckets and shit like that. You could do it like that, and it, like, it saves the show a little bit. It doesn't, like, scuff the show in any way, you know? Then it's like, well, whatever. They're giving free food to the people in the audience that's sponsored by KFC. I'll buy that and I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
That's like outside the show. I know it's a part of the show and I know that gameplay there is important as well, but it's not quite like they're...
Doesn't bump you as much.
This felt like they were acting. This felt like they should be paid actors.
It was crazy. Finger licking good.
Yes. They're saying the catchphrases, they're wearing the clothes, and none of these people are getting paid to make this commercial. You know, I like that. Yeah. It just like is...
That's a bummer. I didn't really think about that.
They're not making Vial money like when he did Halo Top. that bought his house.
Wait, by the way, we haven't even talked about that yet.
I know.
I guess
we'll talk about it in Twibbon.
Yeah.
Yes. For those who don't know, Nick Viall and Natalie Joy had their baby on the February 2nd, I think, and they just put it out on Instagram today. We're recording this on Monday. Yeah. It was days off. It was like 2-2 or 2-3. But they just announced it today. Congratulations to the great one and Natalie Joy on potentially creating the greatest reality TV star we will ever see. We'll have to wait a little while.
River Rose Viall. Welcome.
River Rose Viall. Welcome to the world.
Accept my follow on Instagram.
I would not have, by the way, predicted that you would send a follow to some Instagram account. We have no idea if that's actually that baby's Instagram account or not.
You rubbed off on me too much.
Yeah, you did it before I would. I still haven't even sent the follow. At any rate, DLP comes in.
Wow, what restraint. Up on your high horse, castle. You're like, I've just put an alarm in my calendar to do it a month from now after the first one.
Yeah, what I've done is worse. You're right.
What I've done is worse. We see the KFC man is also in the pool. They have giant pool floaties. Yeah. Sydney is talking shit on Maria, and she says she can't have peace with her. And we see in Sydney's one-on-one time, she finally does this tattle. Tells Joey that Maria attacked Medina and called me embarrassing and weird and dumb and is making a hostile environment.
And she also claimed that she had to end up walking away. She came in hot with this tattle right off the bat. She's like, Maria started tagging Medina, who's a good friend of hers. Joey's like, oh shit, I was just having some KFC. This tattle.
I guess finger looking good times over.
This tattle was my
error of the game.
Fair.
Again, we don't know her motivations. We don't know if this is she's being promised things in order to get this performance or if this is actually just all her or probably more likely something in between. We don't know.
What if they're promising paradise and it doesn't even exist?
God.
Sad.
I know. Well, they probably wouldn't have known that though while they were shooting because they're shooting this in October, November, right?
I like to think it's still coming back. You can't not do a VIP 10. You don't stop at number 9.
Those ratings were so bad. But again, if you're listening, just give it a chance. I think you have some players in this season specifically that are going to light paradise up and put it back where it needs to be. You're seeing Joey's ratings go up. I think paradise can do it too. Just there's some people who are having like comedic ideas about what paradise should be. You just need to stop that.
But you don't like the comedy?
That's all. Do you? You like the fucking poop baby? You like Creamy Caesar? You like Sally's suitcase? You like the truth box?
No, I don't like any of those things.
That's what I'm saying. It's like it never hits. Whoever, I don't mean to cast any whatever, but like shit, that's got to stop.
Look, I did like them trying to do Casa Amor though. I wish they had done it better.
Creams and serums are made of 70% water, 15% preservatives and emulsifiers, leaving only around 15% for the active ingredients that your skin needs. But luckily now, there's Fiber Skincare.
15 years ago, the scientists behind Fiber Skincare started working on nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. You know, I saw that in Three Body Problem. One year ago, they patented a way of wrapping the nanofiber around oil or liquid-based ingredients. This means they can deliver 5 times the active ingredients compared to creams or serums, as there is no need for water, preservatives, or emulsifiers.
The first formulation made with this technology is plant-based, anti-wrinkle. It's a set of patches that you use over a series of 7 days. You just put these on whenever you would apply your serums, and your skin is going to feel tighter in 10 seconds. And over the seven-day program, it has been clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by, get this, 19.4%, a very precise percentage. In fact, They have a tighter skin guarantee. If your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they're going to give you your money back, no questions asked.
You get the tighter skin guarantee with this 7-day routine. Tighter skin or your money back. Get a 15% discount code by using the discount code GAME. That's Fiber Skincare.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Right, but it was in that era where, like, you put Costa Amor on the end of a Bachelor in Paradise season where they have tortured people for 2 weeks straight, and then they're like, now we're splitting you up. Have fun. Oh, fuck you. No way.
Yeah.
It's the most important thing in making a good reality show, and you're seeing it in fucking Traitors, is that your cast has to be happy and excited about what they're doing. That will make the whole show good. Paradise was the exact opposite for the last, what, 3 or 4 years. It was the exact opposite. People dreaded going there. No one wanted to go there. Mm-hmm. You were only doing it for the gram because there was nothing else about it, you know?
People are scared to make plays or do anything or say anything interesting.
Exactly. Exactly. Because your example is Brennan Marias, Piper James. It's punitive. If you even talk about Instagram, we'll ruin your life. That was the message sent in that season. Mm-hmm. What was that season? 7?
It's just like, it's an untenable stance for a show where people are only going on it to be influencers. No one goes on it without social media.
Exactly. Exactly. Embrace it. This is a launching pad for superstars. That's what this show is. Let them do that.
God, if Maria doesn't get to touch sand, I'm going to lose my mind.
Exact. Maria, Evelyn Clark, you don't want to see what she can do on Paradise. She jumped over a fucking table. Jesus. Anyway, what Sydney's done here is my era of the game. You should never initiate a tattle, in my opinion, ever. Only extremely high level players can get away with even, I mean, like what Katie Thurston did is groundbreaking. A generalized tattle against somebody in the house is spreading rumors that could destroy a life. Bye. And then just like fades into the bushes. Matt James doesn't have time to ask any follow-up questions. At any rate, she initiates this tattle and Joey ITM shock. He doesn't want a hostile environment. And Joey thanks Sydney for sharing these things. He doesn't want a partner who would attack people. He ITMs that he trusts Sydney and is appreciative that she brought this to his attention. Sydney is still telling the other players that she deserves respect. He pulls Maria and we kind of cliffhang on this moment here going into portion 10. But now Joey is in full investigation mode. And if you watch a show called Traitors,
yes,
you'll see Pilot Pete on that show employing investigative skills that are rivaled by no one. He learned them in season 24 during Champagne Gate, during...
He's so good. You can tell he's a student of that game too.
Absolutely. But you can see like...
Studied. He's prepared.
Bachelors have to do this every season, what Joey is doing here. There is some tattle. You got to get to the bottom of it. There's some drama in the house. You got to get to the bottom of it before the show can progress. These are investigations. It trains you to do that shit in games like Traitors at a level. I mean, Peter Weber was investigating Madison Pruitt at one point. I'm sorry. That's like Sherlock Holmes and Moriarty. These are the biggest detective and criminal in literary history, perhaps. At any rate, you gave me a look like, who the fuck's Moriarty?
How did you know that was it?
I can tell by your face play. Okay. Anyway, my so sorry, minutia alarm of myself. We're back to the pool party.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Look, this is, I feel like it's good about me that I say when I don't know references, but sometimes people get mad.
No, I'll never get mad. Rachel ITMs that this is the worst pool party she's ever been to, and people are getting their time robbed by this drama. And this is the unfortunate consequence of all tattles at cocktail parties or pool parties, is that you're going to force turtling, and then the second audience will turn against you, whether they believe you or not. If you fuck somebody out of time, that's it. Gloves are off. Fuck you. And she's doing that to multiple people, or so it will seem. The producers make that choice, but Sydney says she feels bad about derailing the day, but she had no other choice. She ITMs that Maria's a mean girl and she's scrounging to find something to make her look bad. And we see this one-on-one time with Maria. Joey brings up the conversation earlier and he heard something alarming and he wants to hear both sides of the story. He's doing an investigation. He heard verbally abusive and hostile environment and that Maria was attacking Sydney and cursing out the other women. Maria is shocked. Out of words. And this play is great. What she does here, I mean, we'll get to what it is, in my opinion, but she's shocked. And she essentially says she's been falsely accused of being a bully. She's been bullied. She never wants to treat anybody as bad as she's been treated in the past. It's an almost an instant nullification of the attack here. She's attacking me for being a bully.
And produces tears.
Produces tears, of course. That's very 4TR. But by saying, she's calling me a bully. No, I have been bullied. I am already the victim of the thing she's claiming I am. It completely invalidates the argument, at least on a logical basis. She says she feels like she's not being received as well as she thought in the situation. She doesn't blame any other player. She blames the process, which is a target that can take all the blame in the world and never get mad at you. This is where you should always place blame. If you do have to weasel out of a situation like this, this is a great place to place blame, the situation. The word bully is something she'd never throw around. Maria ITMs that it hurts to be bullied like this, produces more tears. She doesn't appreciate it. She didn't think the second audience would be the hard part. Then we come back to this one-on-one time with Maria. She says it's a surprise to her. She's confused. He's like, I see that you're confused. I didn't expect the things that I'm not able to kind of like see, he says. And he says he can't shake the fact of hearing about this. He's in a weird spot. She says, what she can say is if he likes Sydney, there's no way he can like her. And this ultimatum of liking, of love level wanting, was my
play of the game.
She's explained her side as much as she can here. I don't believe about the accusations, blah, blah, blah. I've given some explanations from them. And she says, Sydney has not. You need to look into that more. So she puts him off on that path. But in making this clear choice, she's doing a couple of things. She's putting the ball fully in his court, which is a trust thing. I trust you to make the right decision is basically what she's saying. And the right decision is it's up to you. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying either one is better than the other. I'm just saying we're both so different that if you really like her, it's not going to work out with me. A brilliant play, a hard play, but a brilliant one.
I mean, her saying this line is saying put me on the 2-on-1 date, though.
Well, that was already happening. I mean, she probably knew that. Once you get put, right. Once you have Sydney literally being like, you're bullying me. What's going on here? And like targeting you like that. You have to know the producers are going to put you on a 2-on-1 with that person. So what she's trying to do here is save her first audience game, because she does have, at least she thinks, kind of the truth on her side. So if it really does come down to it, she knows if it's got to be like a group investigation where he's asking all the players who's right in the situation. She feels like she's got that one in the bag. I think it was, anyway, for me, it was a good play.
She's got most of the jurors.
Yeah. It's a risky play, but I think she was kind of right to do it. She's being accused of some big stuff here. And
I thought the bullying PTC was...
Yeah.
That was almost my play of the game.
I agree. The bullying PTC is a part of this to me. She like invalidates the argument. Then she's like, I'm so confident in my argument. Kick me off or kick her off is basically what she says here. Brilliant. And of course, we know that's not going to happen. Joey ITMs that Maria made a good point about not being able to like them both, and he needs some time to think. DLP emerges, three tings and a slight scrape. Did you hear that?
Oh, no.
Ting, ting, ting. It was a...
Minutia alarm.
Never heard him make a mistake like this. I think DLP might have had a couple of drinks at this KFC pool party.
I agree with you because of what happens later.
You think they just got him drunk and they're like, get out on that float, ham it up, do some improv with that bucket of chicken.
Joey apologizes to everyone for the turtles, and Sydney says sorry to the turtles, and Sydney says this is where we're being manipulated by Maria. We get this, and Sydney ITMs, does she want my limbs? This is what I'm talking about. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I agree. It was very weird. Yeah, would she want me to cut off a limb to make her happy? I mean,
that just makes it seem like she's trying to like make peace, which she just, we haven't seen, but yeah, maybe it happened. We see portion 11, the rose ceremony, and Allison is worried about her turtling. We get tears from Evelyn, and first flower goes to Lexi, group date winner.
Then we get Leah, Kelsey T, Rachel, Medina, Daisy, Jess, Edwina, Autumn, Allison. Two roses left. Who are they going to go to? Well, I guess we know that they have to go on a two-on-one, so it's, of course, going to be Maria, and after DLP's final rose tonight with no dark touch, Sydney gets the 12th rose. We say goodbye to some great players, Evelyn Clark being one of them. Evelyn gets the biggest ITM here. She has great things waiting at home, a great job, a great family, just missing someone to share it with, produces tears. She's going to take time to think about what she learned here and use it to find a guy who's right for her. This is essentially a perfect exit speech. It's everything you want here.
My guy's on sand.
Yeah. He wasn't my guy. I fully accept that. I'm going to take the things that I learned here, use them to find my guy, essentially saying, I need to keep playing this game. Put me on sand. If there's going to be a sand. God, there better be. Fuck.
She really did so much with the tier play and the competitiveness.
Yeah.
And she's another person where you're like, if there's no paradise, that is unjust.
It's robbery.
Krista, we didn't really see much from. We also say goodbye to Star, who was pretty much cut from the document. Mm-hmm. We see this promo Monday and Tuesday. We're in Malta. Joey is cosplaying as, I don't know, a gladiator tot.
I don't know. I just wrote sword fights and a shirtless Joey.
2-on-1, Maria versus Sydney, it's looking like. Mm-hmm. And then we get this DLP tag.
I mean,
he's making fun of the announcing it's the final rose. Yeah. Why do I even say that? Which I did not like that one part. I was like, DLP, this is a sacred ceremony. Don't make fun of it.
I agree with you. I didn't like it either. I liked his performance. I just didn't like the content of it. I thought it could have been better written. Instead of making fun of these things, it could have been more of a paying tribute or something, if you wanted to use those at all. I think just him silently floating through the water eating chicken would have been good enough, in my opinion. Mm. Show me 30 seconds of that and I'd laugh my ass off. At any rate, we get this tag where he's doing the final rose tonight and his Tam Sigs. And that's it. That wraps up this episode. Who was your MVP?
He tries to name everyone, all the women who are on his season.
Or he's sitting there eating chicken. Yeah, he floats up to the woman whose name he got wrong, like hits her foot with the Colonel Sanders guy and turns around and is like, huh? And then she just clubs him in the head.
That's more violent than I would like.
Yeah, you know.
We must protect DLP.
Yeah.
He's a dad now.
I know.
Just like you're a great one.
A lot of people are dads now. Who was your MVP?
Rachel was my
MVP.
I thought that she and Kelsey A have been kind of buried, and they brought them in this episode. I loved her colorful narration. I loved, pretty much everything that she was doing in this episode. Yeah. The parental marriage longevity thing, the door handle, you know, I love setting that expectation. I'm not going to touch door handles, the tear play. That was almost my play of the game. Getting the earring caught.
Yeah, I did like the door handle thing was pretty nice. I'm curious to see if he opens doors for her and they make something of that now. But for a variety of other reasons, Maria was my
MVP.
Obviously, we all love her. She is the star of the show. And here I thought she was dealing with a very direct, very hostile attack based on almost no information or no reality, seemingly, at least by the cut. And she was able to dodge this, to deflect this guided missile in Sydney that is just coming for her again and again and again. Yes, we know they're going to have to go head-to-head on a two-on-one next week, but she survived this week by showing the producers, the third audience, that she was game and she will defend. She's not going to go down by this.
Yeah, it's interesting that the rivalry is between Maria and Sydney and not Medina and Maria.
Medina has done a kind of low-key great job of extracting herself from that, I thought, at least in this episode.
Yes, exactly. She's kind of Victoria peeing, dropping little bombs. But she did say, I felt bullied.
That is true. But that's it. That wraps up our recap for this week. We hope you guys are enjoying this season as much as we are. My God, it is just so fucking good. I love it. And I cannot wait. I can't wait for everything that's coming this year from this franchise. I think it's all going to be very good. And hopefully, like I said, hopefully Paradise does come back for a 10th season. And let's just see some of these players, let them play.
I mean, you're the one who was putting out those words into the universe, trying to manifest my nightmares.
I didn't put those words out into the universe.
Yes, you did.
I heard those words and then I just reset those words.
Yes.
It has been written about.
On the Housewives, that's spreading it.
What is?
That's gossip law on the Housewives.
Oh, interesting.
Even if you didn't come up with the rumor, if you're just repeating it on the show.
Okay. I don't, but it also is something that I think is like logically true. It makes sense to me that that would be the case based on the ratings. But as I said, I think the ratings will turn around if you get the players from this season. And I don't know who's going to be or Bachelorette out of this season and who those guys are going to be. But I just think there's like opportunity to get some fresh blood back in Paradise. People who have had a fun time playing The Bachelor and they would love to play Paradise.
I hope so. I hope it all comes back. I'm ready for the 24-hour Bachelor channel.
God, me too.
Streamer.
But that wraps it up. We'll be back on Friday with This Week in Bachelor Nation, where we're going to be talking about the ratings of tonight's big game. We're going to be talking about all the parasocial plays players are making. We'll have a state of the game. I don't know what that's going to be about yet. And of course, we'll have some screams from the pit and Bachelor Nation news, some of which will be Vial's new baby. But...
And next week, two recap episodes, no Twibin.
Correct. And those will be out on Tuesday and Wednesday. The mornings after the show's air. We hope you will join us for all of it. And before we go, as always, Pace Case, what is the Dwab at?
It's been 7,989 days without an Asian Bachelor. Praise be Dark Lord Palmer.
Please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us and then